Money Show.
Small business.
Pablo Fatidis from Auric Business Accelerator is our regular Thursday night helping hand. He doesn't hold our hand. He used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore because it's wrong to hold hands in the time of COVID-19 and inappropriate as well amongst colleagues. It's just the wrong thing to do. But he's a hand-holding specialist for small business on a Thursday night. So, Pablo Fatidis, you've got this observation. It's a good observation, and it's, I think, a timeous observation that in a world where the media landscape is shrinking at the scale that it is and that the rapid pace that it is, for small businesses, many of whom have heavily dependent on the reach of particular community media, with that gone, how on earth do you reach your customer now?
Now, Bruce, it's really worrying. You know, if you look at what happened earlier this year, there were some very well-known magazines that faded away. We've now had this announcement from Media 24, they're losing some of their titles. Caxton has lost some of their titles. Some newspapers are being lost. And what I find a little bit upsetting around it, I completely understand the reasons why. In many ways, what COVID has gone and done is there's a wonderful expression. It says, when you sail your ship in a storm, the faults in the hull and the faults in the crew show themselves more readily and more apparently. And COVID has really gone and just accelerated the decline of these magazines. But what is concerning around it is it really offered an alternative platform for a small business that might be able to afford to take out one or two ads in the year to get itself heard and seen above the noise. Because in the interim, what we have also then seen is a massive concentration of digital platforms. Really, there are 9 of them in the world today, 5 of which sit in amongst 3 companies. And that's obvious who they are, because you've got Instagram and Facebook, which are part of one crowd. You've got Twitter, which stands on its own at the moment. You've got LinkedIn, which is part of the Microsoft organization. You've got Google that owns YouTube as well. And between those 5 social media platforms and the rising power of Amazon, which is also selling advertising space now more actively, eating and challenging them, it's become, and I've used this expression before because I learned this expression in the States, it's become a what they refer to as a cuck place, and it's spelled CAC. It's the cost, the customer acquisition cost,
right,
has become unaffordable for small medium enterprises. It really is now a corporate gig and a corporate game. And what these platforms did, Bruce, is they duped us. They duped us for a long time, and they continue to dupe us because we get told, no, that's completely untrue. That's not the case at all. If you produce good content, original content, fresh content, which one would think would be of value to them, and it is, because it then concentrates where all the content lies, and concentrates more eyeballs and ears around the searching functionality of these platforms, we will rate you up. So what small businesses did for years and years and years, they invested heavily in creating content. They generated big followings to the extent that they could on all these platforms. And if you say, for example, have 2,000 followers on your Facebook profile, when you post something, you would be given access to about 10% of your own followers that you have earned. If you want to get access to the balance, it's pay to play. And it's become a very, very difficult space. So with the collapse of these publications and other media brands, the world is getting rougher and tougher in the marketing space.
I want to pick up with that in a minute. So what do you do in this massively concentrated digital advertising space, content space, this landscape? And they dominated by big advertisers. I mean, if you've got a big marketing budget, you're absolutely fine. You can choose your poison. But for a small business, you really have to define where your marketing money is going to be most effectively spent. At least the difference between 21st century platforms and magazines and newspapers of the past is that you get a much better idea of where your advertising money is being spent, how your advertising money is being spent. And all I need is George to be paying attention to me, and where that advertising money is being spent. And that advertising money needs to be allocated very, very specifically. That is what Pavlo and I are going to be talking about in the next 10 minutes.
The Money Show. Small business.
Pavlo Fatidis is founder at Auric Business Accelerator. He joins us on a Thursday night to look at small business. Tonight, the big focus on getting your marketing message out into your market and to your customers so that they know what you're up to, that you can make offers to them, so that you can speak to them. In the old days of print media, it was easy. You bought lots of advertising space and you didn't know which bit landed. Now we've got digital advertising and it's fabulous. You know which bits work because you see them work, but it's very, very hard still to get your message out. So, Dr. Pavlo, like Dr. Phil, what do we do?
So, Bruce, you know what? More now than ever, this idea of spray and pray as opposed to being very targeted in your messaging becomes important and who you're trying to reach. One of the other factors that's increasingly becoming apparent is that right across business, products and services are becoming very commoditized. So if you look back, let's say 10 years ago, the number of competitors you would have faced were far fewer than the competitors you face today. And in that light, the big question becomes, if you communicate with me, will I be able to see you and why should I care? And the only way to get that right, Bruce, is to not focus on the product you're offering, not focus on the service you're offering, but you've got to focus on the customer group that you are trying to reach. And that means you've got to get your demographics right. So that means, for example, the measurable aspects and character of your market that you want to reach. You might turn around and say, I want to reach, if I'm in the consumer market, males between the age of X and Y in a socioeconomic bracket of P or Q that are located in a certain province in the urban areas. All those measurables are the demographics, and that is simply not enough. It's a start, but it's not enough. Because then you have to also understand the psychographics, and the psychographics really talk to the psychology of the people or businesses you're trying to reach. How do they behave? How do they think? How do they buy the service or product that you're offering? And once you've got that right, Bruce, it's still not enough. And this is where the next level of competitive thinking comes into play. You have to understand the dynamics. And the dynamics are around, what are those problems? How do they come about in terms of the customers I want to reach? How do my customers experience it? What does it cost my customer? And how do they want it solved? Once you've got that right, you then are creating what you refer to as a persona. And it is this demographic, psychographic, dynamic characterization of the business or person that you want to reach. When you can refine that and clarify that, it's the beginning of cutting through the noise and getting more bang for buck in your marketing.
Got you. Right. So you've got to be targeting. Your messaging and communications have got to be clear. And then in the olden days, you used to, I don't know, go and meet people. Remember meetings where you go face to face and you go knock on doors and you'd go and do your own marketing. You would go and essentially put yourself in front of your customer. And that kind of is a little awkward at the moment. But how do you pound the pavement digitally? Can you?
Well, yeah, you have to. You know, pavement pounding nowadays, even let's say sans COVID, before COVID and after COVID, because COVID too shall pass, like every crisis in the world does pass. This too shall pass. The way that that used to happen and the way that, the way that it happens is one of a couple of ways of doing it. Digitally, you've got to decide which platforms you're going to be working with. So for example, the way that you would work with Instagram is very different to the way you would work with Google, which is very different to the way that you would work with LinkedIn, and which should be very different to the way that you work with Twitter and the way that you work with Facebook. Each of those platforms have a particular idea of what the communications ought to be. And I watch this with deep fascination, because so many people use LinkedIn, which is a professional networking business engagement platform, and provide content that is more classically suited to, for example, Facebook, which has a more social aspect to it, apparently. It has a more social aspect to it. And Instagram, then again, is better suited to some businesses and not others, depending again on who you're trying to reach with what product or what service. So you need to understand which platform you're going to work in. And then when you do, Bruce, pounding the pavement there has to start immediately with relationship building. You don't know who that audience is. People's aliases and verification as to who they are is very uncertain. It's especially true with Twitter, and it's increasingly so with all the other platforms too. Just because someone might be called Jack Black, and there might be a picture of someone who looks like he or she could be Jack Black, it doesn't mean necessarily that that is the person, a representative behind their profile. So your ability to understand that profile, to understand how to engage with that profile, and to engage with a piece of content that demonstrates you've invested time, energy, and effort to be genuinely interested in that individual on the other side of their profile, is the pavement pounding version that one would have thought existed in the 60s and 70s with traveling sales folks. And that's the part that you've got to get right. When you reach someone on those platforms, there's a message to connect. That message has to resonate. If you don't know who it is you're serving, and that message says, hey, whoever you are, I've got a great product with all these features, you can be rest assured you're going to be put to sleep and archived immediately. You won't get any further engagement. So you need a connection request that resonates. You then need to invest further and have one or two engagements before you expose the opportunity for a product or service that you have that could solve a problem for that client. It's a different kind of pavement pounding, but it's absolutely critical, and it works all the time if you get the engagement right before you get the transaction right.
Yeah, and that's hard, and it's learning new skills. And again, revenue models are probably changing now as well. I mean, what made you money 3, 4, 5 months ago doesn't necessarily make you money again, does it?
Completely. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's so expensive to sell once off. It's so expensive that increasingly what I'm seeing is that with the advent of digital and digitization accelerating rapidly throughout all businesses, we're seeing people who would have originally offered you a product looking at offering you the service instead. Because what the service does is it allows the cost of acquiring a customer to yield a better return. If I work hard to acquire you as a customer, I offer you a product and off you go, as opposed to if I work hard to acquire you as a customer and offer you a service through the product that I have, it means I have a longer relationship with you. It introduces a whole host of risks, because in that relationship, as I serve you, the longer I serve you, the more likely you're either going to love me or hate me, because things can go wrong. But the longer I serve you, if you love the service that I offer you and the service is valid and remains valid, you then talk to other people. And that's where referral marketing or remarketing and word of mouth marketing becomes very, very exciting.
And not to rush you, but you've got to get into the sweet core. You were telling us all about the onion last week, and I was teary-eyed and moved. But you've got to get into that sweet core of the onion in 20 seconds, don't you?
Yeah, very much so, Bruce. It's not the inner core. It's the middle layer. And that middle layer was that marketing is strategic, but increasingly it's not core to you as a business. You need to find an agency and get that agency aligned to your personas. Let them help you understand the platforms, test them, and use them. It's become a tricky, complicated business, this.
Pavlo Fotiades from Auric Business Accelerator.